Welcome to the River of Life broadcast, a weekly ministry of South River Baptist. This year, we are studying the book of Hebrews about faith that endures. The journey of faith is filled with challenges and victories. Life-changing faith is not merely instinctive. It's not a happy feeling. It's an act of the will based on God's unchanging word. Now open your Bible to hear Pastor Chris Thompson share simple biblical truths to help us build faith to overcome life's temptations and trials. Here's Pastor Chris Thompson.
We're in chapter 8 today, and we come to the main point, the main reason that Paul has written. And it's important to not miss the main point. You know, sometimes as a parent, anyone ever had this experience? You know, you have a point that you want to get across to your children. And so as a parent, being a wonderful parent that we are, we'll tell them, you know, A, B, C, and they'll hear A, B, Q, right? Am I the only one? Okay, no, okay. Amen. No, we want to get the main point across, and it can be even a discussion between spouses, right? But getting the main point is essential. Not what I think someone said, but knowing what they said, what they intended to say. And Paul tells us right here, this is the main point of the whole book. This is what everything's been leading up to right now. And from this main point, then we'll begin to understand that as we walk by faith, why it's essential to understand this main point. And so this is what we want etched on our minds, etched on our hearts, chiseled there by the Spirit of God this morning. I want to know the main point, because the main point is essential for our journey of faith. The main point is essential for the trials that we experience as we walk by faith. The main point is critical when I'm tempted to sin. And that's going to happen for all of us. We're going to experience trials in life. It's going to happen. And what do you do when your faith is stretched in those moments, or you feel like you're in a vice and you're being squeezed? You know, that what comes out in that moment really reveals whether we understand the main point or not. When you experience difficulties, maybe persecution, you say, wait, we live in a Christian nation. We'll never experience that here in America. Oh, where have you been, right? Don't be so certain. I mean, the world seems to have no problem with us mentioning God, but you mention Jesus and all, you know, that's what is the deal breaker in so many ways, right? And so as a true, authentic Christ follower, don't be surprised if when you and I choose to walk by faith and the world doesn't accept that, but don't be surprised. They didn't love him. They didn't like him. He said, they don't like me. They're not going to like you either, right? But I'm going to need to know this main point. When we have those valleys in life. Listen, we're all going to walk through valleys of darkness. We're all going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We're going to walk through, as the psalmist would say, valleys of Baca, weeping. Times when we leak, and God made us to do that, by the way. You're supposed to leak, right? But when we experience that, do you know the main point? You see, this is the false understanding we have of Christianity in so many ways. We think it's just supposed to be we're always on the mountaintop, but we're not. The topography of our journey of faith, I mean, there's mountains and there's valleys, and we go up and we go down, and that happens throughout life. But here's the amazing thing. God promises to be with us through those. They're on the mountaintop, they're in the valley, and it's this main point that I need to be reminded of today, why it's so essential. This truth is vital. It's vital to my walk of faith. You need it this week. You need it this past week. Maybe you didn't avail yourself of it, but this is why we're reminded of it over and over again. Don't hear ABQ today when he's saying ABC. And the ABCs are this: we have a high priest. We have the right high priest that intercedes for us. Listen, I'm not interceding for you as the pastor. No man on this earth can intercede for you. We need someone far better. This is the whole point that he's making as he writes to the Jews and reminding them of their sacrificial system and the way things had been set up. Why it's critical to understand this main point, to be mindful of our need of this high priest. We're all fallen. We live in a broken world. It's a reality we see too frequently each and every day. It's all around us. And I need to be mindful of that grace that Sherwin just sang about. That grace, listen, that doesn't just save me. It sustains me each and every day. This is the grace that we can approach a throne of grace, as he said earlier in Hebrews. We can come and find mercy. We can find grace in our times of need. Why? Because, see, our high priest isn't here on earth. Our high priest is over there on the other side as the advocate with the Father. And this is what's critical. And so I may need to renew my way of thinking today. I may need to remind myself today of this critical, vital truth. I may need to avail myself of that. That's why we, at the end of the service, have a time of decision, a time where if I've heard God speak, I respond in obedience to the prompting of the Spirit of God. I respond in faith to realize I'm not living by faith. I'm not trusting in this truth. I'm not allowing it to transform my life. I need to realize this main point because, listen, this has been God's plan from the beginning, from the foundation of the world. This is an eternal plan. We've already seen this over in Psalm 110 as we've walked through this epistle. That the Lord said to the Lord, listen, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. This is the one, listen, that isn't just the priest that God ordained and appointed. We're going to discover he's also the sacrifice from the foundation of the world. And God has had a plan. Praise God that he's always had a plan. So this isn't something just new. This is something that God, before he even made anything, God intended. That's just encouraging to me in my walk of faith to know that my times can be challenging, but all those times are in his hands. And he's working his purposes in our life. And why wouldn't I come to him? Why wouldn't I bring my burdens? Why wouldn't I come and avail myself of this one that it's vital that I know and vital that I trust in? Because see, his work has eternal significance. It has significance for today, each and every day that we walk by faith, but it has lasting eternal significance as well. And so I want you to stand with me and honor the word of the Lord. I'm just going to read five verses this morning. Hebrews chapter 8, the first five verses here. And again, now you'll see it right here. I'm going to highlight a couple words in verse 1, verse 2, verse 3 that we'll focus on as we walk through this section. But notice, now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest, notice this, who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. A minister, notice this, of the sanctuary or of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer, here it is, both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things. As Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he said, God said to him, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Spirit of God, speak to us. You are our guide to know all truth, to understand all truth. I pray that our hearts are ready to hear the living God speak from his word. And that, Spirit of God, we're ready to respond as you teach us, as you instruct us, as you call us to obedience and call us to repentance. Lord, may our lives be transformed by the truth we discover today. God, may we walk out new men, new women, different than when we walked in, because we heard God speak and discovered his amazing love in Christ. Jesus, we're asking these things in your precious and powerful name. And all God's people said amen. And amen. You may be seated this morning. This is the main point. We have such a high priest. Why do I need to have the right high priest? Now, Paul is saying it's not I have him, we have him. Praise God, he's for anyone all who come to him. Amen. Anybody this morning, listen, anyone under the sound of my voice, whether here on the radio or watching online, anyone who wants to hear the word of God this morning, understand this, whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He can be your high priest today. We have him. Paul is writing to this community saying, listen, realize who Jesus is and what he's done and what he offers us in his identity. I have him. I hope you do this morning. I pray you do. It's a critical, it's a vital thing. I need him because I need him to intercede for me. God's given us his spirit here on earth, and Jesus is over on the other side. And both are interceding for us before the Father. I need the Spirit here to help me to know how to pray. But when I pray there, I've got one at the right hand of the Father who's interceding for me. I praise God. He's my advocate. He's pleading our case when we bring it before him. Now listen, understand, we really don't have much of a case. You understand that, right? Because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We do that each and every day. And when the devil accuses us, I guess sometimes I think like Job would be accused by the devil. We've got one. Listen, we have one that's right there pleading our case. Not saying we're innocent. Oftentimes we're guilty, right? But saying, listen, I've paid the penalty that sin deserves. Praise God this morning. I need to be reminded of that. That one over there on the other side interceding for me. There at the right hand of the Father. Now it's important, as I highlighted a couple words here in each of these first three verses, which I think are essential as he's speaking to us. These are the ABCs he's telling us about this high priest and why it's important about Christ's priestly ministry and what he does. Because this priestly ministry, it guarantees a couple things for us. It guarantees his sympathy and understanding of our frame because he's put it on. Just as the high priest and the priest ministered here on earth and had to offer sacrifices for their sins before they offered the sacrifices for the sins of those who came, we have one. Listen, he was tempted in all ways like us, but yet without sin. He understands my frame. Ultimately, listen, we're acquitted because he paid the penalty my sin deserved. There is one that we go to right now, and because of his location, because of his ministry and the things he's doing right now, I need to know this, and you need to know this. I need Jesus as my high priest. Now, notice in verse 1. We have him, such a high priest. What kind of high priest? Well, listen, the one who is seated, I circled that word in my Bible, seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. He is seated. Remember, we've already seen this in Psalm 110 highlighted through as we walk through the different chapters leading up to this. It's something that's repeated over and over again. God's plan when he spoke to Jesus was, listen, you sit right here. You sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. God has had a plan out there in eternity. God has had a plan when he made this world that Christ would serve in this way. And Jesus is right there seated at his right hand, just as God said, until all of his enemies are brought under his footstool. He is the one who is in authority over all things, and he's going to, it appears, sometimes the devil might have his way here. It's all under God's authority at the end of the day. He's not doing anything that God will not allow him to do. And God's had this plan. Now, think about this for a moment. Why is it important to emphasize he is seated there at the right hand? Now, this is critical because when you think of the priest and you think of the work they had to do, when you go over there to Exodus and you see the instructions that were given to Moses and you see in Leviticus how the priest did the function and did what God intended for them to do, what's fascinating there is you see that God delivered his people from bondage, from the bondage of the Egyptians. He brought them through the Red Sea, destroyed their enemy behind them, took them out into the wilderness. And out there, as he began to provide for them as a good shepherd for his flock, there he told them, listen, Moses, call for an offering. Ask the people to give so that you might build the house of worship so that they can approach me. And as he gave that offering, they gave so much, he had to tell them, stop giving, you're giving too much. That's a wonderful thing as a pastor. I wish I could say that oftentimes, right? God's people just outgiving God. Well, they gave and they gave and they gave for the building of the tabernacle. And as they contributed, God gifted individuals, artisans, to construct all the things that were essential as they built that tabernacle there in the wilderness. Now, it's fascinating is when you see the furniture and items that were built in the tabernacle. I mean, there was a bronze altar that usually was right there at the entry, at the door. And when you came to bring your offering, you better have a sacrifice, something to offer to the Lord. You don't want to appear empty-handed before God. The priest would greet you there and ask, where's your sacrifice? And then he would take that sacrifice, and depending on what the sacrifice was for, he would offer it up, sometimes a total burnt offering, sometimes a partial. He'd go to the laver and wash his hands, and then he would walk across the courtyard, and he'd enter into the tabernacle proper, the holy place there. Not the holiest of holy places, that was reserved to the high priest. But when he went in, there were a couple pieces of furniture in there. There was a table with showbread on it. There was a lampstand that was made. There was an altar of incense where some of the incense from the sacrifice that was given outside was brought in. And the fragrance of there, the fragrant aroma that went up, which was supposed to represent our hearts, yielded to the Lord. And so that fragrance went up and as prayers to the Lord. Behind the veil on the other side was another piece of furniture, maybe sometimes considered two because it was the Ark of the Covenant. And then on top of that was the mercy seat underneath the cherubim, the wings of the two cherubim. Of all those pieces of furniture that you see in the tabernacle or would later be built in the temple, what's fascinating is there's no seats. There's nowhere does it say build some seats there for the priests. Now think about that. Why? Why would they build only what God said? Why would there not be any seats? And it's really simple. Their work was never done. You think about that for a moment. They had to continually offer sacrifices. Why? Well, for two reasons. People sin. In fact, I think about that sometimes here. They see someone who's come and brought their sacrifice, and then they turn around the next day. Wait, you're back again. Wait, you're back again, right? Why? That's me. I'm a wretch. I'm an outlaw. Go look down the hallway. Nothing. Amen. If you haven't seen my wonderful photo and others as well in the South River gang, we invite you to check it out. But come tonight and you'll see I wear a white hat, not a black hat. Anyways. Stumble and fall short. There's a need for sacrifice. The wages of sin is death. That's the wrath that sin deserves. And the priests, people are falling short. Sacrifices have to be offered. And it's not just because of the people. It's because there's no perfect sacrifice. Everyone that's offered, there's not one that's going to be sufficient to make us perfectly clean. I mean, the blood of bulls and goats is never able to make anyone perfectly clean. They were just temporary. They were just a temporary covering until a perfect sacrifice could come. When will that come? When will that come? That should have been the question that they were asking. Well, I mean, I'm tired, man. I have to do this over and over and over again. We need a sin for the sins of the whole nation on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. The high priest, in case we missed anything, we got to cover it all. And yet, there was never a place for them to sit. Sometimes I think about that as a pastor, right? We're here preaching and going back and forth. I get all my steps in today, right? There's no place to sit because of the labor, the ministry we have to do. But see, our high priest that we have, amen, he's seated. And now think about this. Where is he seated? He's seated at the right hand of the majesty in the heavens. At the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. He's up there, y'all. He's there on the other side. He's seated on a throne because, see, our priest is a kingly priest of the order of Melchizedek. He's a royal priest, not like any of the priests down here. There is a seat there for him to sit on. Why? Because part of his work is done. Now listen, there's two reasons. Listen, two things that Jesus is doing. He has what's called his atoning work. That's offering up a sacrifice. He's offered up a sacrifice for us, and that work is finished. Praise the Lord. Nothing else is required. Christ has done everything necessary so that we can be made right with God. Praise the Lord this morning. But his atoning work is finished. But listen, his advocating work is not finished. He right now is advocating on behalf of sinners as a high priest. He's interceding for us, the Spirit interceding here. And that work, listen, it won't be complete until we get over there on the other side. But the good news is this, the required necessary work so that we can be made right, praise God, it's finished. That work is done. And that throne that he sits on is a throne of power. It's a throne of privilege. That's what the right hand typically signifies, right? It is a throne of possibility. That's why we come to him. That's why we call on him, because of where he's at. He's already made this argument in Hebrews. He said, look, we've got one who's passed through. He's over there. There's no limitations over there, y'all. And he's at the right hand of the Father, whose purposes will always be done. And he's advocating, interceding there in a royal way for you and for me and all those who are part of his kingdom. This is something we should rejoice in, to realize he's exalted to a place, listen, of honor and authority. And there it is glorious. He's on the other side. And that's where your hope and my hope needs to rest. Not here. There's limitations here. The priests who serve here, there's too many limitations. Why? Well, look at verse 2. It's not just a seat that's on the other side. He says there's a sanctuary on the other side. He's the minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected, and not men. Listen, I don't know what's on the other side. Moses got a glimpse of it. But there is a sanctuary over there that provided the blueprint, listen, for what's over here. And so when Moses erected what God said, the tabernacle here made by men, that was merely a copy, or he says it, a shadow. It was an imperfect sanctuary. It wasn't meant to be permanent. Shadows aren't real things. The real thing is over there. And this is what's vital. When he uses this idea of shadow, of course, if they had been influenced or understood Greek philosophy in that time, they would understand, they would be familiar with this idea of the language of a shadow. Plato said, listen, Plato the philosopher. Plato said, listen, in the parable of the cave, this is how we understand knowledge. This is how we understand things. And our knowledge is like a man that's sitting in a cave and he's chained to look at a wall. And behind him is a fire. And as things are put before the fire, the shadow goes up on the wall. And we see the shadows of things. If only we could break free and turn around and see the real thing itself, right? And this is what we would discover, right? That the transcendentals, the things that are so much higher, that are over there, truth, goodness, and beauty, they're all tied to our God ultimately. He's the one we would see. And what we see are just shadows. In a way, that's what they saw, just the shadow of how to approach God. It was the tabernacle. It was a reflection, listen, of what's over there. God ordained that it be built here. God gave all the pattern to Moses, and he gifted the artisans by the power of the Spirit to build that place. But while as Exodus and Leviticus detail all that was necessary, they never understood, well, why this and why this piece of furniture and why this? This was just given as the instructions on how you approach a holy God. What they should have been asking is, man, when will this be done? When will it be complete? When will it be enough? When will man truly be made right with God? And day after day, as sacrifices were offered, this is what they should have been longing for, looking for. Moses, when will we get to see the real thing? When will it come? Praise God, it's come. His name is Jesus. He tabernacled among us. He came to offer the sacrifice none of us could offer. He came to become the high priest that we desperately needed. You see, these priests that serve here, that the Lord erected this tabernacle, Christ can't serve like them. Why? He can't serve in this sanctuary here on this side. Why? Because he's not of the tribe of Levi. He's not a son of Aaron. He came from the tribe of Judah. He wouldn't be permitted to serve there in that tabernacle as a priest. He's a priest of a far better line, the line of Melchizedek. The line, listen, that's a royal priesthood. That's why he's seated on a throne. He's of one that's so much higher. The Levitical system in the tabernacle, it was never designed to be permanent. So don't get tied to it. Don't get tied to these structures down here about how I can be made right with man-made systems. They never will. We need Jesus to make us right. I need his sacrifice on my behalf. I need to be under his blood, the blood of his sacrifice, to be made right. And see, he's the high priest who's ministering over there. And yet this was all part of God's plan from the very beginning. Not just to be a priest according to the order of Melchizedek, but to be the lamb slain from the foundation of a world. What an amazing God who has understood and seen all this and planned for it. But it's not just the seat that's over there in the sanctuary that's over there. Notice the sacrifice that's offered over there. You see, every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. When you read in Leviticus, when you read in Exodus how they built the house of worship, you read in Leviticus, the first five chapters, all the different sacrifices that God requires, and then the priests who would offer those sacrifices, chapters 6 and on to about 10, the sacrifices that they were, every priest, when you came into the presence of God, you don't come empty-handed. You better have something. Listen, you better have a blood of a sacrifice to throw, because the wages of sin is death, and something needs to be a covering while you call on the name of the Lord and pray to him or present the prayers or sacrifices of someone else. But see, every priest has that responsibility. Well, what sacrifice is Christ offering? What bull is he going to offer? What blood of a goat or what blood of a lamb? I mean, he can't appear empty-handed over there. He's advocating for you and me. He's representing you and me. He's coming on our behalf. He's coming, listen, to make a provision for our sin. What sacrifice is he going to offer over there on the other side? Well, see, it's necessary that this one also have something to offer. What does he offer? Here's the amazing thing. There's no lamb. There's no bull. It's himself. See, this is the beauty. This is what we rejoice in today. It's what Sherwin sang about. This blood that was shed for you and for me. And it's sufficient. It's enough. This sacrifice, it's the only perfect and acceptable sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1. We've already covered that. It's the only thing. It's the greatest and most essential sacrifice that's ever offered. We're going to get there in chapter 9. We're going to see in 2 weeks when we start getting in 3 weeks when you get to chapter 9 why this sacrifice is so important. But if you go back to the Gospels, and you go back and you read about Jesus hanging on the cross and some of the things that he said, there's one thing that highlights why this sacrifice is so critical and so vital and so essential. And the reason the sacrifice of our high priest is important is this. When Jesus died, and he died there, he said in Greek, it says this, tetelestai. And what that means is, it is finished. But the Greek language, listen, that verb that's used of his sacrifice when he offers it is this. Not only is it finished, it's a once for all time action. In other words, it's finished and nothing more is ever needed. Praise God. Praise God. Listen, today, do you realize today, you and I didn't come in with a sacrifice of a bull or a lamb. None of you came to worship today like that. We didn't have to. Because we've got one. We have one that's offered on our behalf. A sacrifice that is sufficient for what God has said. A sacrifice that he has offered over there in that sanctuary. And that sacrifice, as it says here in verse 3, he had to have something to offer. And the only thing the Father would accept is perfection. And Jesus offered what you and I could never offer, himself. Man, praise God today. There's one thing that makes me right with God. It's nothing you and I do. It's everything he has done. You see, our righteousness, our right standing with God is not achieved. It's not anything you and I do. It's received by faith. Received trusting in what Christ has done on our behalf. And our high priest has offered that up. If he were on earth, he would not be a priest. Since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law said he had to be from the tribe of Levi. He can't do that. He can't offer that priest here on earth for you or me because he's of the tribe of Judah. But there's no priests in the tribe of Judah except for him
Because he's a priest according to the line of Melchizedek. You see, the line of Judah, that's for the kings. The kings come from the line of Judah. Think of David, amen? And all those after him. Listen, they come from the tribe of Judah. But ours, our priest, he's a king too. And he's seated over there on a throne. And he's offered a sacrifice once for all time for us and for all of mankind and for anyone who call on him to be saved. And see, I need this each and every day when I stumble, when I fall short. Do you know the amazing thing? Sometimes we think God wants our sacrifices and he doesn't. You know what he wants? He wants our obedience. And obedience comes from a broken heart, a sacrificed heart. That's why it says, you know, God is not well pleased with burnt offerings. It's not what he's after. This is what God wants, a broken and a contrite heart. That's why Isaiah says at the end of Isaiah, who is the one to whom God will look? Who will God look down and smile upon? Those who are broken in spirit and have a contrite heart. That's why Paul would say in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present a bull, a lamb, a goat. No, present yourselves as living sacrifices. I'm dead to sin. I'm dying to self. I'm putting my faith in him. That's the only one I can trust in this morning. That high priest, I got nothing to offer. He gave everything that was necessary. And I'm trusting in him. I pray you're trusting in him. I pray you have him as your high priest. He's in the right place. He's offered the right thing on our behalf. And beloved, he has sat down because he's done all the work that is required. I need him. And you need him. This was all part of his plan. Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies, put them under your footstool. He's going to do that one day. His plan is going to be accomplished. Until that happens, beloved, you and I are to walk by faith, fixing our eyes on him, running this race of faith with Jesus as my high priest. Do you have him today? Is he your high priest? Because see, if you look at verse 6, I'm going to tie this in next week. Now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he's the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. What is this more excellent or better ministry? What is this better covenant? What are these better promises? Well, you see, in the Old Testament system, that's under the Sinaitic covenant. That's under the law given by Moses. They became the covenant people of God. They were established in that way. They were his people. And they were, God had made promises to them. Hey, y'all, we've got one that's made promises to us. We are the covenant people of God. Not under that covenant, because no one can be made right under that covenant. We're under a different covenant. It's called the new covenant. We'll see that next week and why that's how we live as the covenant people of God. But this is what's essential to understand. To be under that covenant this morning, there's two essential truths that you have to understand. And it's tied to the Torah. You see, over in Torah, there are two individuals, two primary individuals for the people of Israel. Abraham, Father Abraham, and Moses. And they loved Moses, right? Because he gave them the law. He gave them the standard that God wanted them to live by. He gave them the law of how sacrifices and worship could take place. But here's the amazing thing. That law, what it does is not make anyone perfect, but shows us all we're not. It exposes us. It reveals, man, if I stumble and fall short of just one little point, guilty of the whole thing. I stand condemned. And that's why I need to not think about Father Moses. I don't think about him on Mount Sinai. I think about Father Abraham over on Mount Moriah. Why? Because you see, if I want to be made right with God, I won't be able to do it through the law. I'll have to do it like Father Abraham did. And how did Father Abraham do it? By faith. By faith, Abraham was made right. Who's going to provide the lamb? Isaac said. Where is it? Where's the sacrifice? God will provide for himself the sacrifice. And he did. God provided his son as a sacrifice for sin. You see, try to keep the law, try to make yourself right, try to be good enough, you'll fall short. That's why we have to repent. This is the gospel. And this is why I need to believe like Father Abraham. I can't make myself right, God. I choose to believe Jesus' sacrifice is sufficient. I want to put my trust in what Jesus did for me. And I want to ask that you have mercy on me. I repent of my sin. I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And I want to trust in Him and ask Him to be my Savior and my Lord. And see, that's the gospel. When Jesus came, Mark 1:15, and He appeared, He said, listen, the time is fulfilled. Everything that's been written, it's been fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe. That's the gospel. That's what all is. And you want Jesus to be your high priest? You want to have Him as your high priest? You got to do two things. Repent and believe. Acknowledge you can't save yourself, so stop trying. Acknowledge only He can save you, and believe and put your faith in Him. The moment that happens, we're saved. The Spirit convicts us, so we repent. The Spirit opens our eyes to help us to see, I need to trust in Him. That's what I want to do today. I want to come to Jesus as my high priest. Have you accepted Jesus in this way? Have you believed the gospel? It's the only way we can be saved. It's a decision you have to make for yourself. No one can make it for you. But praise God, the moment you do, what you discover is the essential truth that you need as you navigate life. You don't just need Jesus once to save you. I need Him every day. Every day that I walk by faith until I approach and reach His throne.
Thank you for joining us today on the River of Life broadcast. If you want to know more about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, please call us at South River at 704-876-1520 or email us at hope@southriverbaptist.com. We also want to know how this program has blessed your life. Please send us a note and let us know you are listening and how our church family can pray for you. We invite you to join us here next Sunday or at our church location at 2659 South Chipley Ford Road in Statesville.